Hello, everyone. Welcome to Cybersecurity Matters. Joining me, as always, is my very clever co-host, Mr. Dominic Vogel.
I'm clever on most days, but today, really excited to have a longtime friend of mine back from the credit union days, Michael Young, a longtime cybersecurity professional here in Greater Vancouver. One of the, my biased opinion, but one of the top cybersecurity minds in Western Canada. So we're really excited to have him.
Well, I can take your word for it for now, but we'll invite Michael in and have him sit in this seat, and we will be right back. Michael, welcome to the show. It's so good to have you. Dominic has said so many good things about you. So,
one of my longtime allies.
It's nice to meet you just beyond LinkedIn and see you in person.
Fair enough. Yeah. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's an honor to actually be here. I am a fan of the show.
You're one of the people that actually like the post too, which is right. You know, puts you in a different level for us.
We really, it's always nice to have a fan of the show.
It is. Right?
It's amazing.
Helps our ego. So
I'll tell you guys that a lot of the clients I deal with are talking about the same topic. So obviously I go into my spiel, but then it's just so easy to say, hey, here's a link. Follow up with this. Watch this.
Just press play.
Or go to this section.
That's awesome.
Once we get some branded t-shirts and stuff, we're going to have to send those to there Mike.
I work for Schwag.
We just have to get your size. And we're good to go. So the first question is, why does security even matter? Like, why bother? Why should a small or medium organization bother doing anything?
Right. Well, I think it's the cost of business. It's just really, it's part of business. One has to look at all risks on that. So there's always opportunities for a business, but with that, they always have to look at the risk. And cybersecurity is one of those key risk areas that need to be looked at, and it's usually not looked at until later.
Bolted on,
or an actual issue comes up. It's unfortunate, but it's where it is.
Well, I mean, you know, you're dealing with this every day. People have their data, so it's kind of like the new oil or the new gold, right? Cyber criminals are after your sensitive information. They want to know your trade secrets. They want to get personally identifiable information and resell it on the black market, or, you know, lock your systems down because your information is valuable to you, and then collect a nice ransom payment from you as your new business partner. We always talk about that that fun emerging industry.
Exactly.
From your purview, IT has always been sort of seen as the cybersecurity master, I guess, for lack of a better term. You know, even people who are, you know, CEO, CFO, people who run a business, own a business, to them, cybersecurity is a technical issue. Do you see those tides changing? Like, are you seeing more, in lack of a better term, business people accepting that that is a risk that they need to take ownership on?
I think it's slowly coming around, but to be honest with you, it's still there. Yeah. It's the perception of IT takes care of it, or IT falls under finance, so the finance person looks at it, and it doesn't touch HR with privacy. So there's a lot of growth that still needs to happen, a lot of maturity happens. But you mentioned a good point about technology. The first thing that people do, I just want to buy something, and that'll solve my issue. Or I need to upgrade to the latest because it'll do this. However, I encourage companies to do an assessment of their organization. And people, when I say that, they sort of step back. It's like, whoa, this sounds really scary. It's like, I don't want to do an assessment. I don't really want to know, but I do want to know. But part of doing an assessment, a cybersecurity assessment, it really unravels some of the people, process, and the technology aspects and a little of the gaps. And what I usually found, especially for the SMEs, is that they may be wanting to look at something very specific. So for example, incident response. We had a breach, we want to focus on that. So that's great. However, I go in and help them build that. But what you do is you find out some of the fundamentals are not even there. Just from even handling an incident of a simple outage. That is not even built in. So it actually helps to actually do a cybersecurity assessment because if it unearths the people in the process side, which are usually lacking. And I wouldn't say they're easier to fix, but they're the ones that are more critical to fix.
And that's really interesting. You know, it's a theme that Chris and I have always talked about, that cybersecurity isn't done for cybersecurity's sole purpose. You know, there's a bigger play there, and benefiting the business, not just from a technology perspective. And when we're talking about the thing I want to hit on there with incident response, you often when you're looking at these different data breaches when they happen, even for large companies, it's not so much the initial incident which is the big problem. It's often how they respond to it, which can make it just explode from being sort of small manageable problem to a colossal, what the word is anyway, cluster, right?
Right,
so,
right.
Like case in point, like Equifax, the way the CEO handled that was terrible. Mm-hmm. Like blamed some poor IT staffer on that. And so from an incident response perspective, first question is, how important is it for them to have a plan in place for when a data breach happens, or if a significant security incident, or like you said there, even something as simple as a simple network outage, how important is it to not just have the technical response, but to have sort of a business response in terms of who's going to talk to the media, who's responsible for talking internally, and what are the time commitments, what are the SLAs? Mm-hmm. How important is that, and is that something that gets a lot of buy-in right now?
It's critical, and some companies actually focus on that initially, and actually have that in place, but they don't make that connection of,
right.
I have a security breach. I need to pull in that. So when I do go in and help them, help organizations with their incident management response process, both from a technical perspective, I tie it in with the crisis management piece.
Right.
They may not have a crisis management team. However, there's some key things to look at.
Yes.
And this is where some other subject matter experts can be pulled in from the communications area and so forth. But no, it's definitely critical in how it's responded to, because things will happen.
Yeah.
It's how you respond, and people are watching. It's like, well, okay, how did they handle that? Well, that response didn't seem right. It's like, why did they say that? I'm not sure. But yeah.
and something which I'm always curious about and like to get your viewpoint is, there's the small and mid-sized business market, and then there's larger and enterprises. They obviously have, through the gift of time, are a little more evolved in terms of how they handle cybersecurity, larger organizations. There's still that very soft underbelly with small and mid-sized businesses. Do you foresee that we're in this window now where it's just going to require sort of all these SMBs going to go through ransomware and significant data breaches in order for them to get to a more robust state, or do you see any of them really embracing it from a more proactive point of view? So from our perspective, often we'll see new clients come to us after a significant security issue.
Right.
Very rarely, even though security practitioners talk about the whole importance of being proactive, mm-hmm. very rarely do we see in the SMB community people want, or businesses wanting to be proactive about it. Do you think we're in this more reactive cycle in terms of improving things?
I think there's always going to be that reactive piece. What I am seeing is, are people actually reaching out and wanting to inquire about certification? So there are certifications out there, as you know, and the standard one out there is like the ISO certification.
Mm-hmm.
It's classified as the gold standard. But a lot of companies, when they hear that, they freak out. It's like, whoa, we're just a small organization.
Yeah, right.
I don't know how to implement this.
Yeah.
I don't. What's the cost of it?
Yeah.
So. But they're looking at it from the perspective of we're wanting to be proactive only for the fact of we can use this potentially as a marketing ploy or to acquire some additional third parties, or there's some requirements that our third party is asking us to be certified. So I'm actually seeing a lot of that, which is good, but at the same time, sometimes it's not mandatory-ish, not regulatory, so in which case they say, well, I guess I can spend more money here later. I just want to know. So I'm getting a lot of inquiries, but to be honest with you, it's a culture shift that's not there yet.
Yeah.
And when I talk about certifications, I sort of look at different countries.
Yeah.
So for example, if you look at Japan,
They're
very into certifications and the ISO standards.
Mm-hmm.
It's a culture thing.
Mm-hmm.
Quality
is
something
quality.
That
they
look at.
Yeah.
So if you look at the North American side, and maybe if I even break it down even further, like the West Coast is maybe a little bit more relaxed. So these are the things
we're very chill out.
Yeah,
here.
We're very chill. So I think those all play into it.
Yeah.
And I think it has to start from the top, from a board.
Yeah.
But from a government perspective, like the government of Canada, there are strides being made. And it's good to see. Not too long ago, Canada came out with their cybersecurity strategy.
Yeah.
And we're seeing slowly these things being executed.
Yep.
One of the things that they have come up with is a standard called the Baseline Cybersecurity Controls for SMEs.
Yes.
Came out not too long ago, got updated about a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
And it's really geared for the small, medium enterprises.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it takes a lot of the key concepts of the standards from the ISO, the NIST standards, so the larger standards.
Yeah.
And really, it tries to take some of the key elements of it, but also try to make the language a little bit easier.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
For
a little less technical.
Less technical.
Yeah. And get them started.
And get them started. So it's a good start. But it's, again, it's not mandatory.
No.
Actually, if you go on their website, it does say that it's not mandatory yet. So there's a hint that they may head down that way. Yeah. But it almost needs a little bit of a push, and it really, that culture has to be right from the top.
Mm-hmm. That's very interesting. Yeah.
My questions in my mind as you're talking there is, can you kind of tell us what the mindset is of these businesses that you work with, or these organizations that you work with? What are kind of some of the current mindsets that they go into before you speak with them? Things that you discover in the process, you know, what kind of provokes them to reach out to you, and then what are some of the eye-opening things that they find out in the early days?
Mm. Good question. So it comes from different areas. Some, as I mentioned before, reach out more from the perspective of we're looking to be certified, but not really understanding what that means.
Right.
But part of it is discussing this is what's involved.
Mm-hmm.
And I sort of paint the picture because I have to do the certification. I build out the roadmap for them.
Mm-hmm.
And
The strategy,
the plans. But with that is that, well, at the end of the day, you may decide it may not make business sense to be certified because of these ongoing costs or this so forth,
mm-hmm.
but you should have an ongoing program.
Mm-hmm.
And all this stuff that we lay out here would actually just help you, get to that level.
Mm-hmm.
You can decide to be certified or not.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that, and there's advocates within an organization. As I mentioned, there may be some key ones like within IT.
Yeah.
There are some strong advocates, and maybe even outside of IT. And then, unfortunately, sometimes that causes a little bit of potential conflict, meaning...
Stress points.
Yeah. You're coming here to audit me?
That's a very familiar scenario.
Yeah, you're coming here to audit me, and it's like, not necessarily. I mean, to help you to understand you are doing some good things, but, are you doing them well? How are you doing them? And it's not to say that you're doing them well or not and bad on you. It's more, these are things that could help to improve it.
Yeah,
highlight some of the good things that you are doing, because I think that's the other key, is that within IT, it's those good things are not always communicated.
Yeah.
So part of going through an assessment and having it presented in a fashion is that understand where are the good things,
mm-hmm.
But also here are some things to improve upon.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want to go here, this is what it will take.
Yes.
Time, effort, money.
Money,
Yeah,
I mean, cost is such a big factor, right? And if we're really honest, that's why people don't do it.
Right.
It's a bit of a hassle. It's people resources. It's cost resources. But part of, I think, the process is looking at what's your data worth, right? And the different levels of different types of information in your company.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want the costs of protecting it to end up costing your company more than it's worth.
Right, and that's a great thing. I mean, part of it is identifying where your crown jewels are these
days.
But not only that, is part of the engagement that I like to do is roll in not just a gap assessment, but also understand the data flow.
Right. Yeah.
So, and this is the value add that could be added, just not from a cybersecurity perspective, just from an IT, just understanding where things are going.
Yeah.
Is that okay? Here's your gap assessment or risk assessment. However, this is actually where all your data is going.
Right.
Going to your third party. Oh, did you know this? So there's a lot of aha moments.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And actually, people outside of IT, even from the business, like, oh, I've never seen this before. I had no idea our data was like this. Or we have this system. I know it's working great, and we're doing all these third parties and cloud, but I had no idea that this is all involved, and this is going here, and this is going there. So it's a bit of an eye-opener.
Yeah.
So I think that's the value add that when I say, let's do an assessment.
Yes.
It here is something tangible that you can build upon.
Yes.
And then here is something that I can leave you with in terms of we can come back again, you can have someone else, just build upon it because things change in your environment.
Of course.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's really interesting about the data flow pieces there. And I guess from that, there's, again, depending on the organization, what the type of data is, there's privacy implications as well. Do a lot of these organizations, are some of them, and this sort of being through our trails as well, which sometimes privacy is the driving force. They don't really think about the cybersecurity piece.
Mm-hmm.
And others will, they'll be talking about the cybersecurity piece, but we'll forget about the privacy piece. So, I mean, the two are obviously very intertwined. do you see those being transition points where if they're like, okay, if the data is moving there and that's sensitive, or stuff that may fall under certain privacy regulations, maybe we should have a privacy professional come in and look at that. Do they often get to those conclusions? Like, are those spots where a privacy professional can pick up that data flow and say, okay, let's analyze this further?
Correct. Yeah. No, exactly. And that's sort of one of the requirements under some regulation is to really understand your data and capture it. So that adds value to that. To your earlier point, when I actually started, before I started in cybersecurity, when I started cybersecurity, what drove me into it was privacy. I was being pulled in from privacy. This is when PIPEDA was starting to come to shape. And that's what drove it. And actually, I get a lot of people.
I did not know that about you.
I'm older than I know. but yeah, a lot of my clients that I have are coming from privacy perspective. And because, you know, it hits the news and is privacy impacting, so forth. But it sort of stops there, meaning they think a privacy assessment is a security assessment because it does cover it, but it doesn't go into detail. And when I raise the issues, like, oh, they've done a privacy assessment, great, and you should do a security one. It's like, well, no, we've already done one. It's like, well, not really. and it's sort of hard to get to that point, but I think they're slowly starting to understand. But to your earlier point, that's what's sort of driving it right now. But there's organizations that don't have privacy and they don't see it as value, but there's other things that they may see as value as well.
Right. And this is coming back to an earlier point when you guys were talking about cost and assigning budget and money to it. Do you see that within the small and mid-sized businesses that there's a variance in terms of what the perception is in terms of what that should cost? You know, there's some people who, you know, don't bat an eyelid. They see, yep, that's worth the cost. They see, you know, from a bigger risk perspective. Others have said, well, what can we get for $500? And it's like, you know, there's quite a bit of variance there. Is that, again, part of a lack of awareness about cybersecurity and what it actually costs, and it's not necessarily a commodity?
And let me slip in, where do we find these cybersecurity practitioners that we can hire for $500? Yeah. I want to know where they are, because there's a belief there's a lot of them just sitting there waiting for a phone call.
Yeah, no, a fair point. And it's just the lack of knowledge of knowing what the market is.
Yes.
And you will get people quoting $500, but you pay for what you get for, really.
Yeah.
So, and some organizations are just looking for a check mark.
Right.
So if that's the case, then depending on what they're looking for, I might not be the right person.
Like a Mona Lisa painting by the original artist, or like a crayon drawing of the same.
Yeah, that's right.
It somewhat resembles the Mona Lisa.
Yeah. Sometimes the crayon falls, you know,
wherever you are. There's value in that. It's the heart that counts in that situation.
And sort of one final thought and question here. So when we're talking, again, about small and mid-sized businesses and the fact that they need to see this as a journey, do you see many of them embracing this more as a one-time project and like, okay, like you're saying, checklist, okay, we've done our cybersecurity assessment and that's it. And, you know, we've seen this with organizations where they say, oh yeah, we had an assessment done 3 years ago. I was like, okay, well, what did you do from it? Did you, did you do any of the lessons learned, any of the recommendations? No, we just want to refresh on it.
Right.
Okay, so there's no strategy about what you learned 3 years ago. You're just hoping through osmosis stuff is improved. Do you see that there's a drop between doing the assessment and then enacting that and actually living out some of those recommendations?
Oh, for sure. I mean, I think the reason you're asking this is you're seeing this. As well as when you
can read me like a book.
Yeah. As well as when I get engaged in you is that they had an assessment done probably by a very large firm.
Yeah.
And it's like this thick.
Yeah.
So it's hard for them to decipher some of that. So part of it is helping them decipher that as well as
prioritizing
that. However, it's still that checkmark mentality.
Yeah.
At the same time, you had a guest that talked about relating it to sort of health. And that's the same analogy that I've been using as well, in that when you go for your checkup, you go for at least once a year, and it should be done at least once a year.
Yep.
And your checkup consists of many things, right? Yep. Blood pressure, urine, blood tests, and so forth. But it's like, no, well, we just did the heart monitoring. We don't need to do anything else. Or, I mean, the part of doing an assessment is just to really see what you are doing good or not doing good. Yeah. Is it actually having any benefit? Is there other things that it's going to uncover?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Like you may be eating properly, or what you think you're eating properly, but you're not being doing it as efficient, or what are actually you eating?
Right, right. Yeah. Mike, we're looking forward to having you on the show again. We're very grateful for your time, for just awesome discussion, awesome dialogue, and now you can have a video clip of you that you can share with your clients. You can point to you on video.
So. Mission accomplished.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
This is my checklist. Yeah.
But thank you again so much. We really appreciate it.
No, thank you very much.
Awesome. Krish and I will be right back momentarily to wrap things up.
Great convo. Another good conversation with a great guest. Michael, I found to be very practical. Mm-hmm. And he's in the trenches every day. I would call him a cybersecurity practitioner. Mm-hmm. And what really hit me the hardest was his people, business owners, business leaders have often a checkmark mentality when it comes to cybersecurity.
Absolutely. And he's just so knowledgeable. You know, he's been a practitioner for so long. And for me, one of the big takeaways, other than the fact that he said the word urine, I think we made almost 25 episodes.
I was hoping he would stop there.
That was the highlight of in all seriousness, you know, he just provides such great visibility and such great insight into the minds of the small and mid-sized businesses in terms of mm-hmm. what makes them tick when it comes to cybersecurity. So I thought he shared a lot of great insight from his purview.
Accurate information from the front lines of cybersecurity.
Absolutely.
Business. Thanks for watching. You can check out our other podcasts on conversationsthatmatter.tv or the Cybersecurity Matters playlist on the Conversations That Matters YouTube channel. And you can listen to us anywhere you listen to podcasts. And we will see you next week.